Second Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing a last epistle, a last letter. These are called general epistles, and they have to do, they're not addressed to a particular church, but they are addressed to Christians that are scattered all over the Roman Empire, all over the known world. And so he writes to them here and says to them, similar to what James read to us from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, I think it was, wasn't it, James, about stirring up your gift? Notice here in 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says to them, I want to read the verse to you. I just looked at it a moment ago. We'll look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, it's fitting, it's proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He's not talking here about the Lord's Supper, and he's not even speaking specifically about the death of Christ, but he's talking about everything that's contained in salvation and what God does in our lives after we are saved. But it is important for us to remember, to go back and look again at those things that are so precious to us. You don't have to turn there, but if you want, you may. To 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we read here Paul's testimony. The apostles, you know, received truth from God that they were to give to the believers. And that's what they did. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. There's that remembrance. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the emphasis on being reminded, on remembrance. Peter tells us there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I don't have long to live. He said, my decease is approaching. And you remember the Lord Jesus said to him while he was on earth, he said in John 21, he said, they're going to come and get you and take you somewhere you don't want to go. And so he knew something about his death. We don't know what that included. I don't have any confidence whatsoever in the fable, the tradition that Peter was crucified upside down. There's no historical basis for that. If you look into it, you'll find that the fable was that Peter was crucified upside down at Rome, but history and scripture give us no indications that Peter was ever at Rome. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church, if you'd like to see the article, I'll look it up and give it to you sometime, actually know where the bones are in Jerusalem. That's where Peter died, and that's where his bones are, and they know where they are, but they don't want to tell anyone because they want him to be the first pope in Rome. So that doesn't have to do with this, but Peter is saying, I don't have long. I'm going to be deceased very shortly, and I want to tell you before I go to remember these things. Now, one of the appointed, I'm going to use the word tools, it's not the right word, but one of the appointed means that the Lord uses to help our memory, to help us remember, is that he sets certain occasions he wants us to observe. In the Old Testament, the Jews had seven feasts. I believe it was seven. But there were three of those that every male in the congregation, every male in the nation was to go to Jerusalem. Every male was to be there. They had to trust the Lord to take care of their families back in the little towns and villages in the hills and valleys all through Israel, that they not be attacked by an enemy while they were away. But they were to be there for Passover. They were to be there for the Day of Atonement. They were to be there for the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody, all the males. And there were many, I'm sure, of their family that went along with them. But the reason for that, everybody has to go, everybody's to be there, was to remind them of the redemption they had out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb, to remind them the importance of there being a sacrifice offered for the nation on the Day of Atonement, to remind them of the time when they lived in huts. They lived in humpies. They lived in brush shelters at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they didn't stay in their houses in that time. They'd go and gather branches, and in the streets, in the courtyards, or on the roofs, they would build these shelters out of branches, and during that week, they would stay there. And it was a reminder to them. Now, when we think about what the Lord has left for the church, all of you, I think, are probably familiar with the fact that we don't have a command anywhere in Scripture to remember the birth of Christ. And there's no Christmas observance in the Bible. There's no Easter observance in the Bible. Those are the two big events on most church calendars. But what we do have in baptism and the Lord's Supper, the two ordinances the Lord gave us, we have the reminder of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's our great occasion. And so the Lord says to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as oft as you do this, do it to bring your thoughts back to that glorious event when Jesus died for your sins. Remember that. That's the big thing. That's the important thing. Because you know it's human. We forget. We just forget. It just leaks out. We may have some really important things here, and they just leak out. How many of you husbands forget your wedding anniversary? How many of you do that? How many of you forget your wife's birthday? Well, we do. And we need a swift kick or something like that to remind us. And so tonight, when we partake of the Lord's table, when you look at the bread, this is not some casual thing. This is not some indifferent thing. This is, we look at this bread and we say, this reminds me of the body of Christ. Not manna come down from heaven as in the Old Testament. Not some holy bread that a priest consecrated to God somehow or other and it turned into the body of Christ. This is flour and water. This is unleavened bread. It has no yeast in it. There is no sin in the body of Christ. It's perfect and holy, and he gave his body to die for me on the cross, and I'm remembering that glorious event, that greatest event in history, by partaking of this. And that right to partake of the bread belongs to those who have received Christ. If you're not saved, please don't take part in the Lord's Supper. In fact, the order of the ordinances that the Lord gave was that we should, after we're saved, be baptized first and then take communion. And every time you find the two ordinances in the New Testament, it's that order. So let me encourage you, if there are any of you here who have trusted in Christ and you've not followed the Lord in believers' baptism, do everything you can to take that step forward. Be baptized. Believers' baptism as a testimony to your salvation. I might ought to mention that the Lord willing, next Sunday, we will have baptismal service, and Joel wants to be baptized. And I think that's a great thing that Joel wants to be baptized. And if there are any of the others of you who have trusted Christ and you know you're saved, speak to Pastor about this and say, look, I'd like to talk to you about being baptized next Sunday. But the emphasis in the Lord's Supper is the bread depicts the body of Jesus that was given for me on the cross to pay for my salvation. The cup pictures the blood of Christ, not spilled, as one of our hymns says, but poured out intentionally. The Lord Jesus laid down his life. He gave his blood for us. And so if we're saved through the shedding of the blood of Christ, the giving of his body for us upon the cross, then we partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that great, important, that vital truth. Let's give thanks to the Lord. What I'd like to do maybe is get possibly Callum and Miles, are you there somewhere? There you are. Would you come and share this around? Now, if there are any of you that are addicted to unleaded bread, there's some GF here, and you can use that. And before we partake, we will give thanks. Will you give thanks to the Lord for his body given for us? And Clem, will you give thanks to the Lord for the blood shed for us? And then, Isaac, if you'll pick a hymn, one of the gospel hymns, we usually look around 125 to 127 in our songbook, but if you think of another gospel hymn beside, choose one for us to sing after we have partaken the Lord's Supper. Men, when you pray and give thanks for these emblems, will you please emphasize the importance of remembering the Lord's death? Thank you.